Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We are going to try and compose ourselves. It's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbunike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jhené, are you getting ready to swear again?
Okay, so we have to start Fridays with the energy that we want to keep. And you always say on Fridays, what's your line?
It's too damn Friday.
Thank you. And I always say that Monday through Thursday we work and Friday we twerk.
And that is hopefully going to be the case in about 2 hours and 15 minutes, right about in that region, if you're keeping score at home and looking for something. Because, man, Jhené, this is one of those weeks where we kind of need it. It has been brutal on a lot of fronts, and so a little bit of throwing some of you-know-what that I usually do, I almost joined you in the dump button, is going to be overly necessary when we get to 6:15. And, Jhené, part of that has been because in the world of sports, we have seen, and we just heard it in the update with Doug Brown before we came on here, more positive COVID cases popping up in the NFL, facilities being shut down, all over the place. And last night, we saw something in Thursday night football. We saw, first off, a very underwhelming game between the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers that was dominated by Green Bay. They win by a score of 34-17, and I promise you it was not that close. But, Jhené, I don't know if you noticed this on the broadcast or not last night, but a very renewed effort as far as the visibility of masks and the social distance protocols on the sideline that Stephania Bell mentioned to us yesterday.
Yeah, I think we sort of now know what was going on behind the scenes. A lot of reaffirmations about how important it is to be safe, especially in this season. I think there's news that we'll get to about how many people are starting to be affected by maybe being a little bit more flexible or not staying as 100 when it comes to the guidelines, whether it is wearing the mask 80% of the time, dropping it a few times here or there. No, they want you to be serious because if you're looking at it, the numbers keep piling up, even though thankfully there's small numbers. You know, before we were in a situation where, remember, it was like breaking news, one person was tested positive. Now we're seeing a couple of instances amongst teams of people testing positive. And I think that's what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah, it's trying to avoid those clusters, those groups of people and spots that they've mentioned. Stephania Bell talked to us about areas that don't have as much airflow, meeting rooms, and even some of those groups on the sidelines. And so you're right, this has been popping up more and more. And what's very interesting, as we're going to talk about today, Major League Baseball and the way they have gone about, I put this in air quotes, punishing in certain instances recently, and the way it reflects their priorities versus what we're seeing now with the NFL, where their priorities have been made very clear in this instance. We look at some of the fines that were handed down, Jhené. The Pittsburgh Steelers were fined $250,000, and Mike Tomlin, their head coach, was fined $100,000 for failure to follow the NFL and NFLPA protocols. That comes in conjunction with the Raiders, who, in addition to being fined $500,000, were also stripped of a sixth-round draft choice for violating the league's COVID protocols. John Gruden was also fined $150,000. So, Jhené, you know this as well as anybody. When something is collectively bargained, it has to be enforced then on the other side for it to have teeth. And this seems to check that box for the NFL at their halfway mark.
Oh, yeah, that is a huge reminder. Like, it's no longer in this territory of, oh, we're going to give you cute little warnings. No, they're coming in heavy, rightfully so, because as it stands, 40% of the league, the NFL, is dealing with at least one player or employee in quarantine, while four teams were forced to close their facilities on Thursday due to those situations, Bears, Texans, Chiefs, and Colts all dealing with issues. So I think the NFL is really trying to push out their, hey, we want to push on with our season, but we cannot get lax. And we sort of talked about this. We're all dealing with this, especially since this pandemic started, you know, in March, mid-March. There's some fatigue that's happening. You know, a lot of people are sort of like, oh, should things get back to normal? No, you know, especially when it's in the NFL, because if you're trying to accomplish something like pulling off a season, you can't get lax midway through, because that will set you all the way back, and that's the last thing they'd want.
Yeah, Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbunike, and I think that's important to note is you set parameters as a league for what coming back was going to look like in the middle of all of this. And getting lax now, I mean, we've seen states, I mean, even Connecticut, the case positive cases are up in this state. They've been forced to dial it back as far as phases. If you start to get lax, then you lose the things competitively that you've set up here. And to be clear, Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL insider, went on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and said this is a clear message to the rest of the league.
Obviously, the league is trying to send a very strong message by making sure that everyone in the league is seeing that they're not messing around. We're at a point now where we're starting to see a lot of teams deal with COVID-19. It seems that right now, this is probably, of all the weeks this season, these are the most amount of teams affected by it. The good news is there aren't any teams with any significant outbreaks. But, you know, guys, we can go through the list right now, and there's a lot of teams that are dealing with, whether it's a staff member or a player. And I really think this was the league going, all right, we need to tighten this up and make sure this does not become a problem. Because so far...
Janae, it's so interesting to think about this relative to the world of college athletics, because what we're seeing right now in college football, we talked about yesterday, there was already a canceled game in the Pac-12 yesterday, the Washington-Cal game to start the season. Today, we got the announcement that the Arizona and Utah game was going to be canceled coming up this weekend. So the Pac-12, who is getting ready to play their first games of football this weekend, already has two games canceled in the course of this. And when we look at why that's happened, we talked about yesterday, they have roster thresholds for you to meet that. The difference is when you get to the pro game, because this is collectively bargained and because these are professionals, because we have deemed them so at that level, you can punish at this level when people don't follow the rules. In college, there's not that same recourse here because it's a completely different setup power-wise. And so the NFL taking advantage and making use of that right now in a way that others are not able to at the college level, or in the case of Major League Baseball, unwilling to at the professional level.
And I think at the professional level also, there's an idea that you have to be accountable for your own team's success. It's not like you're a part of this greater institution that's all competing against each other. You're just trying to be the final two teams that compete for a chance to win the Super Bowl. And so now I think they're using this pressure to put onus on the organizations, on the teams, and the players. Because if you're looking around, guess what? This is a message out there. I mean, it stinks to see what happened with the 49ers last night. But what you see is obviously they're riddled with injury and it stinks there. But what you also see is, hey, the game must go on. Again, you mentioned there's no threshold comparable to like the NCAA, meaning when we went into the WNBA negotiations for the season, they're like, you're going to be out there even if you have six people, just one person on the bench. And we sort of had this idea of like, look, you have to be ready because we don't know what situation is presented. I think these professional athletes have had the same conversations, but it's also on them to take accountability for what they're doing, whether it's the coaches, the players, because guess what? Someone is going to have to go out there and that person will have an impact on your season, even if that person is not prepared. So a lot of different dynamics, because in college, we're not looked to as being able to make decisions because we are quote unquote amateurs. In the pros, this is where you shoulder a lot of the accountability, because if you want to be a team that's there, one of the last two and one standing, this is also on you, not just the NFL to make you do it.
Don't tell that to the Ohio State and the Buckeye pledge that we saw earlier this summer. Accountability is a part of it for everybody, but enforcement is something different and something you can do when you get to the professional ranks. I'll never forget my first training camp, Mike Tomlin, I was with the Steelers. Head coach said, hey, listen, if you're late for a meeting or something like that, I don't have to suspend you or run you. I'll just lighten your wallet. It is that easy when it comes to Sundays and comes to the professional ranks, and they are making that loud and clear right now. Chanae and Golic Jr. reminding you, be a part of Chanae and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season's heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. And it's interesting, Chanae, we talk about enforcement, and we've gotten a couple examples in the NFL today about them really trying to give teeth to the protocols that they put forth. Coming up next, Major League Baseball must have taken out their dentures, because there is not a lot of teeth to anything they have tried to enforce lately. That's coming up next. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Man, you get a Friday news dump of baseball on Friday in the morning show, boys. Making all the sounds. Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chanae Igumike, and
I feel like that's the only appropriate time to actually say it when it comes to what we've seen with, you know, the scandals and especially the aftermath of whatever happened with the Astros. This is the perfect time, especially due to the season's cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. Like, you can use that here today.
That actually applies in this one, and it's close enough to Halloween where pumpkins are still relevant in the social
spice latte
calendar.
Season.
Yes, spice latte season is at hand. And Chanae, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I enjoyed this so much earlier today. Major League Baseball, not once but twice, has efforted not only the normal Friday news dump that we get going into the weekend, everyone's got a lot on their minds, but they have gone with the Friday election week news dump, not once, but twice. First, the news out of Major League Baseball that Alex Cora, the former Red Sox manager who was suspended as a part of the sign-stealing scandal that went on during the investigation that led to the Houston Astros being punished as well, he was suspended, let go by the Red Sox, announced today that he is hired back with the Red Sox. We're going to do do-overs on this one. And at the same time, Justin Turner, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, announced will not be punished after his actions from the World Series because Justin Turner said that he was sorry and because Major League Baseball in this process apparently found that they believe they were also culpable enough in what led him back onto the field.
I am weak. Okay, so you know I had a pretty busy morning, right, Junior?
Tell everyone what you're doing.
Okay, I had a photo shoot, which was kind of cool. Ooh. It was a nice photo shoot for my Three Stripe Life Adidas. And so I was trying to follow everything on top of following the news of the election. And so this makes sense for Friday to try to slide this type of things in, especially going into the weekend. And so I'm just laughing because I knew the Alex Cora part, but I didn't know the Justin Turner part. So when you said it, I just finally processed it. And that to me is really funny. No suspension because we found culpability on ourselves. I just sort of think that what we're seeing here, this trend with, you know, with MLB is the fact that players tend to end up getting a better end of the stick when it comes to punishment. And I think a lot of people, especially given the nature of this pandemic, felt a lot of, like, it's funny when you finish talking sports, you go back to real life, you know, whether it's your family that may not care about it. Everyone was talking about Justin Turner.
Yep.
Everyone. And so everyone had an opinion. So I thought this was an opportunity to show, hey, all right, let's try to handle this situation so everyone understands how serious this was, even though we made our mistakes. But it looks like the players are still beyond reproach. And I'm definitely shocked at that because that was new to me.
You know what, Chinee? There's part of me that's shocked and there's part of me that's just not. Because we just got finished up talking about the NFL and what they were doing, handing out big time fines to a couple of teams and a couple of coaches in the NFL and the Raiders and the Steelers for not following the proper COVID-19 protocols. The NFL is 8 weeks into their regular season. 8 weeks, halfway through the season for the most part. Halfway through the season, trying to send a message of how we're going to finish the rest of the season there. They're trying to get to the finish line. They're seeing positive cases pop up all over the place. You mentioned just the amount of positives we're seeing, you know, on each team, all across the league. Major League Baseball knows they're done. Major League Baseball knows that they just needed to get through that couple of days of bad press, slip this out on a Friday, and everyone's going to forget. And that's just as much on us and a recognition that we're only going to have the attention span for so much. And Major League Baseball is taking full advantage of it in this situation. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
And another way in which Major League Baseball is taking advantage, because it's funny, I'm reading into the A.J. Hinch situation. When he got hired by Detroit, he said they reached out to him, quote, as soon as the final out was recorded in the World Series when his suspension was expired. So clearly, like, this is what we care about, you know, less about the sign-stealing scandal and more about winning. But this is just what it is. So I'm not, you're right. I was shocked just because I feel like we won't care about it now. But once Major League Baseball starts again, you know, next season, people are going to be like, oh, Dodgers out to defend the title. Right? And you're going to see him out there and you're like, wait, hold up. And I feel like then they're going to be eating their words again.
Yeah, Chinee, that's the really interesting part to me, right? Is like, how much cover can the Dodgers provide you in this situation? Because what we saw this past season was the rest of Major League Baseball very upset that none of the Astros players, like you mentioned, the players seem to be off limits in a lot of this when it comes to the punishment. What was it about this last season? All the players, despite no fans in the crowd, none of the raucous road experience we expected, still a lot of vitriol towards the Houston Astros. They were the villains this season. You wonder, and we asked Jeff Passan about this, we asked, you know, Tim Kirkjian and Buster Olney, what the shelf life is for this kind of hate towards that team. And now, does it extend to Alex Cora and A.J. Hinch at all in these situations? Does that stain touch these teams now that they've basically said, yeah, all that stuff that the league deemed bad enough to suspend you for? I mean, we're not mad about it enough to not go out here and help our baseball team like this.
Yeah. I don't think it really extends because it's consistent in the sense that they just say, all right, this is bad and let's move on. And we prioritize winning or at least have these guys getting opportunities after this, which again, I always say, I'm not judge or jury. I just sort of think if you're trying to hold your league to a certain standard, you have to show that that standard actually has impact. And I'm not one to say that this guy, you know, I know exactly what it's like to work for something. I still have yet to win a professional championship, to work for something your entire life and finally achieve achieve it and to say you can't be a part of that moment, where I always tell people, it's not the fact that you won a championship, it's that you won it with people that you were in the gutter with, that you were riding with. So I can understand why he probably felt compelled to be out there himself as an athlete. And this is where I say the system should hold itself accountable to protecting the athlete from themselves in those situations. And that is where MLB failed. But at the same time, you have to show that in this climate, especially with the pandemic, this is someone that you could have even just did a little slap of the wrist instead of, no, he said, I'm sorry. Is that all you wanted? You have to sort of reinforce those same behaviors, because that is the culture you're setting, not just for MLB, but also for everyone. Like, that's the responsibility we have. That's the reason why we're going out and saying, wear masks and follow these protocols. You have to follow that through, not just because your season's over, because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but we're often reminded in sports, Chinay, and I think on a weekend where we're getting ready to watch Antonio Brown play in the NFL and all these different things, like, sports generally does not tend to do things when it comes to the winning and losing. We've seen a bunch of athletes involved in a lot of great work to get people out to vote, to do all these things in their communities. But when it comes to the business of winning and losing, rarely is this a world, the world of high competitive athletics, where doing the right thing is something that's going to guide decision making on a lot of these stuff. Those instances are few and far between. And I'm glad you brought that up about Major League Baseball being culpable in this, because best believe they snuck that in the fine print. Third paragraph, or at least way down in the second large paragraph in this statement from Major League Baseball. Finally, Major League Baseball could have handled the situation more effectively. For example, in retrospect, a security person should have been assigned to monitor Mr. Turner when he asked to isolate, and Mr. Turner should have been transported from the stadium to the hotel more promptly. So this is also just as much, hey, we need to get this out of the way because we as Major League Baseball realize we messed up and we're not going to punish ourselves and hold ourselves accountable in this, so we'll just let you off with it easy. We won't talk about it because it's the offseason now, and we don't have to worry about what the NFL does lining up to take snaps this weekend with all of this going on, trying to make sure you get to where Major League Baseball just finished at.
And I think that's why we all, when we saw that commercial where the guy was like, I touched the ball last, that ain't real.
Nope.
That's another reminder. That's why we laugh at that commercial.
I touched it last.
I touched it last, coach. You know what I would have done? I would have just smacked him. That's the real life.
Be quiet,
right.
Timmy.
It's not about right or wrong. It's about winning.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So again, Major League Baseball refusing to really go out and punish anyone in a way that's going to change any real hit behavior going forward here. So while that remains very interesting, coming up next, we got to get to something that's really been weighing on my mind all day. I don't know if my Monogram Club t-shirt is giving me away or not, but there's a big game coming up this weekend between Clemson and Notre Dame. And Chinay, I've heard something all week about the pressure on Notre Dame, a rumor that I want to dispel because I think it's actually the opposite way. We'll get to that next. It's Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we've got some news about the NBA's future upcoming and why this shouldn't all just be about the Los Angeles Lakers. Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And our weekend preview is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. And Chinay, it has been so nice for me this week. Rare is it that we get to, on national shows, preview as much college football as I would like to going into the weekend. And rare is it that the world of college football is so centered around my team in Notre Dame. It has been a hell of a week around here, Chinay, that you have had to weather the storm. Thankfully, we brought in David Shaw yesterday, Stanford's head coach, who was phenomenal to kind of help you out here so you wouldn't have to deal with as much of me.
I know, but you know what's fine? Like, I had Coach Shaw join us, and I was so glad to sort of even out that energy. But I feel like you're lying to the American people right now. You're here sitting sounding like you're so confident. I think you're shook. I think you're nervous because finally there's an expectation that Notre Dame has to win a big game. Do you think that they – well, of course you're going to say they're going to deliver. But you have to be honest at least about your emotions. Are you shook, nervous?
So, Chinay, I told you at the beginning of the week what was going to happen. I start off this week very nervous, and by Friday, I'm ready to make the heel turn. And here we are.
A heel toe
would be nice, but unfortunately not well executed by your boy here. So Not that one, but a heel turn into the bad guy. Because, Chiné, one thing I've noticed over the course of this week is a lot of people talking about Notre Dame's team. And a lot of the talk about is Notre Dame elite. A lot of the talk about Notre Dame's schedule. A lot of specifics being brought up in this situation. People believing they are overrated or not worth the hype. And you know what that all sounds like?
What?
A little bit of insecurity. Little bit of fear from the other side. Because, Chiné, the reason I say that is Clemson is the better team going into this game, period. Like, if Notre Dame wins, this will be considered an upset. It certainly will be by the point spread. Clemson's road favorites in this situation, but it will be an upset. Clemson is the number one team in college football right now. I understand they're down players, including their star quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, but there is that expectation. And I think all the fear comes from the other side in that they know that's the expectation. Notre Dame loses again. It's going to be the same big game narrative that people have already built up and quite frankly overblown in a lot of instances and want to make a bigger deal about and invalidate the rest of their resume. As opposed to if Notre Dame wins and that off chance that they're not expecting or acting like, but they fear in their hearts is they came in year one in the ACC and they beat our best team. And you can talk about all these players being down, but at the end of the day, that's not a stain anyone in the ACC wants to wear. And so they're all looking at this saying, yeah, Clemson's going to back it up, right? And slowly, as I've talked myself into it, the doubt creeps in on the other side just enough where, again, it can't just be the conversation, Chiné, of, well, yeah, Clemson's the better team. We expect them to win for X and Y reasons. It's no, let's tear down everything about Notre Dame in the process. And that, to me, reeks of fear.
Okay, I think what you just described was an excuse. It's like, look, we don't have a history of winning these big games, so it's okay. We can fall back to that narrative instead of having an expectation that this is a boom, boom. Thank you. A must-win game for Notre Dame. I feel like that should be the expectation because that is the most important thing to get ahead of the narrative and actually show that this is the time to win. Now, I agree. Clemson, broadly, better team. But when I look at Notre Dame, I mean, this is the opportunity, Junior, even without Trevor Lawrence, right? Notre Dame, I saw this nugget, and I want you to, like, go back into your archives and tell me if this is true, because this is about the same time you left. When did you leave Notre Dame?
2012 was my last season there.
Okay. In fact, Notre Dame has not defeated a team that finished ranked in the top 10 since a 17-13 victory over Michigan State back in 2013. Do you think that rings true?
Yes, that does ring true. That was an upset. That was a Michigan State team that, by the way, had they not lost to Notre Dame, would have been in the national championship more than likely that year.
And the last time these two teams, Notre Dame and Clemson, played was obviously the college football playoff semifinal, right? But what was the score of that? Do you remember that?
That one was 30-3. That one got away from them, absolutely.
This is the time. Like, obviously, the advantage is on Notre Dame because they're playing with their full-ish roster versus a Clemson team that has the Heisman favorite, though he's not the favorite, but he really is the favorite. So I feel like that's an excuse, Junior, because obviously you switch gears. Okay, we're both former athletes. And, well, I'm still, but you know what it is. We switch gears when it comes to game day. It's like, all right, forget all the doubters. We know how big, you know, we have to get our emotions in check. And I think that's what you're doing. But I feel like this is a must-win game for Notre Dame because guess what? This is one thing that can help them advance to the college football playoff. Well, even if they sort of end up after the ACC with even one loss.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you said that because in a lot of ways, people are treating it like that. It's not a must-win game for either of these teams. And our own Heather Dinich, ESPN College Football Insider, who does as great a job as anyone of covering the college football playoff and their selection committee process, had this to say earlier.
The loser of this game cannot be eliminated. It's different this year for Notre Dame because they are a member of the ACC conference. You know, in years past, I talked to Brian Kelly after they lose and we have the same conversation. It's, you know, this is what it is when it's an independent. We understand we lose a game and we're almost out of the mix. Now they lose this game, they have a chance to compete for the ACC championship, just like Clemson. They have that point of redemption. The problem for Notre Dame with a loss is three of their next four games are on the road. So you have to rebound at Boston College, Friday at North Carolina, and then you end the season at Wake Forest. And that's just tricky to do. And then you have to try and beat Clemson again. So I think Notre Dame is under far more pressure than Clemson in this one just because of the stretch that it faces to end the season.
But Janae, what she mentioned there to start was just that no one's really out of it. Now, you're right. All the stars are aligning here. Notre Dame finally gets a top 10 matchup at home. They're getting it healthy versus another side who, in addition to missing Trevor Lawrence, is also missing significant pieces on its defensive front seven. All of the above is true in that situation. But all the things you mentioned about the past, I kind of bump the narrative game idea, because you're going out this weekend. You know this. You don't play a narrative when you step onto the field or the court. You don't play every past bit of history in this instance. You play the team that's in front of you in this spot. And so for Notre Dame, while we hear all the time about you've got this game circled on schedule, it's also just the one you're getting ready for this week. You'll have to play more after the fact. And so, yes, it's a great opportunity to win, but it's always telling to me when, instead of touting your side the way Clemson should be able to do, so many people choose to tear down the other side in Notre Dame, which reeks of insecurity in any format, in any situation. And so that's the only reason I bring it up in this spot. It's to me a win-win in that regard, because Notre Dame can go out there and win, get a quality piece like Heather just mentioned, or if they lose, you can't kill us. We're already dead. I've already been burned out inside by all these losses in the past. So yes, this is all a coping mechanism, Janae. I'm just doing this for my own mental health. I don't know what to tell you.
It's fine. I'd be doing the same thing. I think what we're saying here is just that the pressure, you can put it now or you can put it later, but the pressure is consistent this season, because at some point there's going to be an expectation to win and to beat Clemson, whether it's now or the ACC championship game. So I'd rather do it. You know me. If the narrative is that, oh, he's out, we must win, I'd rather do it now. And then when we get there, we have another opportunity, another stab at it to really defeat this narrative in its entirety. But hey, you know what? You only play the hand that you're given. And so we will see what the fighting Irish shoe. But I say all this because I'm playing devil's advocate, one. And two, I still want you guys. Well, I can't say I want you. I want a good game. I want a good game.
And I think we'll get one, Janae, in all of this. And you mentioned some of the things that go along with these narrative ideas. I will say, when I was at Notre Dame and I got there in 2008, and we were, you know, a 500 football team for the next couple of years, really the next 3 years. And when you would get into the fourth quarter of games, and we lost some bad ones to teams that we shouldn't have lost to in a lot of instances, Syracuse, UConn, Tulsa, all these outfits, there's that feeling of, oh, here we go again when things start to go wrong. And it wasn't for a couple of years where all of a sudden you get enough experience getting that winning under your belt in certain spots, overcoming those bits of adversity where you can turn around that mindset. And so maybe if you want to ascribe some reality to those narratives affecting this outcome, that could be a potential place.
Look, I don't know why I should be judging, because at least you guys have made the college football playoff, okay? Because my team has had Andrew Luck, we've had Christian McCaffrey, and we still ain't had that. So I get it. I get it.
Step back. And you had Toby Gerhart, who was built like a human Clydesdale. Janae Angola Jr. reminding you to tune in for college football action tomorrow night. South Carolina hosts Texas A&M, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up next, though, the NBA season. We talk about college football and the Pac-12 getting ready to go this season. The NBA season is tipping off in the next month. Janae Agwumike going to explain to you guys why what we're seeing is about more than just the champs. We'll get to that next here on Janae Angola Jr.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, I am genuinely baffled. Well, not really. I know exactly why no one is talking about the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. But I'm still confused why no one's talking about one of the biggest games in college football that's going on this weekend under cover of the Notre Dame-Clemson game. We'll get to that in about 10. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Janae, we talked about it yesterday, but now it is official. The NBAPA reps approved the December 22nd start date, for a 72-game regular season for the NBA. So after this conversation about starting before Christmas and being ready to go for what has been a sort of NBA-circled calendar holiday, or starting around Martin Luther King Jr. Day in January, it seems like the money has prevailed in this situation. Are you surprised at all by how quickly this came together after we heard the initial disagreement?
I think a lot of people have been thinking about the top of the top, but this is way more layered than that. And so I feel like I have to express my feelings, and we'll do this with one and done. Or...
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Okay, go off, sis. Here we go. The NBA, they just agreed to what? A December 22nd start date for the 2021 season. And that might seem very soon, especially for teams like the Lakers and players like LeBron James and even possibly the Miami Heat. Now, the last game was October 11th. 2 months later, the new season will likely tip, which is kind of crazy when you try to wrap your head around it. But when we think through this lens of, you know, what we've heard from the top of the top, meaning LeBron James, I'm going to cherry pick because this is such a tough turnaround. I think people have heard that this turnaround is because the NBA could have lost $500 million to $1 billion by not starting on December 22nd, which is why we're out there. But I think there's another underlying reason that a lot of people aren't really understanding as much, in the sense that the players and the league, they came to this agreement because obviously you want to put a product out there. And a lot of people probably think LeBron James, he's just going to pick up where he left off. Instead, I think he's going to be playing the long game. We're focusing on the Lakers, but there's a whole world of possibility out there for next season, and it's going to come at us fast, so we might as well talk about it. Out West, people are forgetting, and they're sleeping on it. We talked about it when it comes to college football, back the pack, you know, Pac-12 after dark. On the West Coast, people are forgetting. The Warriors are waking up too. They've got Steph Curry back, who could have played in the bubble. They have Klay Thompson back, really reinvigorated. You've got Draymond Green. Those people out there are going to be out there ready. You've got the Clippers, who have a lot of pressure, especially based on how they changed head coaches. So out West, they're teams that probably are fiending for another opportunity even sooner rather than later. And let's talk about the East for a minute. Everyone was talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo, how he was, you know, now two-time MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. He was bounced out of the playoffs early. He had some rest. I've seen his Instagram. He's all over the islands and living his best life right now. But this is a team that also is dealing with the expectation that they have to win now, especially considering that he's facing a supermax contract extension. And if they don't deliver, guess what? He could walk and we could have madness in free agency. And of course, we have to talk about Brooklyn and the house. Okay, Brooklyn, which it's funny, a lot of people have made the mass exodus of leaving the Knicks to now to the Brooklyn Nets, because who do they have? Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, who could have potentially played in the bubble, who said he could have been ready if the Olympics were played this season, a guy that might be one of the best offensive scorers we've ever seen in basketball. These guys are rested. And then I'm not even talking about the 16 teams that did not play in the bubble that might want to play this year, haven't played for 7 months. So when you look at the landscape of the NBA, yes, about a week ago, the Lakers won a championship. And guess what? We probably think that they're expected to win again. But I feel like the rest of the NBA, they might come ready to play.
About a week ago.
You know, I couldn't help myself.
And listen, it deserved a place in that, and I'm glad it found its way in. And Chiney, I am fascinated by the two teams you mentioned at the beginning and the end there, the Golden State Warriors and the Brooklyn Nets, because injury was a part of both of their seasons in the last year. And I'm wondering your thoughts, again, as someone who's come back from injuries multiple times in your career, but now knowing they're going to do it in this adversity, how do you think they approach this early portion of the season? Veteran players, championship players, but ones who are coming back from severe injuries.
We ready. Yo, they are ready. What they've had this last few months is extra time. Steph Curry was thinking about playing if they would allow him to play. You have Kevin Durant, who was already saying that his timeline worked towards the summer, even though things got pushed. And then everyone realized, you're the franchise guy. You risked it all by coming here. You better play it safe. These guys have been able to recover because science has advanced and they've been ready. And now what they're doing is just refining that their game. And that to me is a scary concept. So when you think about Brooklyn and the Warriors, those teams are teams that we probably haven't been thinking in our purview, because guess what? About less than a month ago, we were just talking about the Lakers and appreciating LeBron James' greatness. But hey, this guy might be tired and might be coasting early, and it might be an opportunity for other teams to swoop back in.
You slow down for a second, you get caught in this league. Chiney Ngola Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Chiney, I'm glad you mentioned back in the pack, because we do have a lot of news coming out of the Pac-12 leading into their first weekend in college football. We've got some big games showing up, but they're involved in some that are still going to be played. Coming up next, I'll tell you the one team the Pac actually needs to back if they want to be back. Not necessarily. That's coming up next with Chiney Ngola Jr.
Thanks for listening to Chiney Ngola Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.